Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. We're back for September, and in this episode, we're exploring a new trend that's emerged in the US for companies looking to list on the stock market. After a very mixed performance in previous years, SPACs are back, and advisors are increasingly pursuing dual-track processes. To find out more, I'm joined by Troy Hooper, Merger Markets Head of Equity Capital Markets for the Americas, and he's based in California. Hi, Troy. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So I wanted to start off with a definition for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what a SPAC is. Can you explain what it is and also what a de-SPAC is, please?
Yeah, so a SPAC stands for a Special Purpose Acquisition Company. So it's just an acronym. And a SPAC is a blank check company. And it's formed for the sole purpose of raising capital through an IPO. And then they use that capital to acquire or merge with an existing private company.
And then a de-SPAC, how does that work?
Yeah, so a de-SPAC is the process of the SPAC merging with that private company. And then they take it public onto a stock exchange typically through a reverse merger.
And just briefly, why would a company choose that option rather than going for the full IPO?
Yeah, there can be a number of reasons, but it's viewed as a reliable way to create liquidity for businesses and their shareholders. And you might want to do that if there's any uncertainty around the timing of the IPO. Like, let's say there's a geopolitical event or something else that's disrupting the markets. And if you're determined to go public, this would be an alternative to an IPO.
And Troy, just so I fully understand it, can you explain how the process works? Who is running the dual track process? And what happens if a tech company, for example, is bought by a SPAC or a blank check company? Where does that money go? Who gets the money? How does it work?
Yeah, so the bankers are the ones running the dual track process. So what they'll do is they'll prepare a private company for a potential IPO, but at the same time, they'll also have conversations with various SPAC sponsors. Maybe it'll just be one, but sometimes it'll be multiple SPACs that they'll talk to. And then if a de-SPAC agreement does occur, what'll happen is money that's raised in the SPAC IPO will then be used as part of the merger, and it'll go on the balance sheet of the target company. Now, there's actually been two really interesting deals just last week that underscore sort of the positive momentum that we are seeing with SPACs. There was two spinouts, actually. So businesses within publicly traded companies that spun out and then they merged with a SPAC. And when it came time for investors to redeem their shares, the redemption rates were much less than we've seen in previous years. So that's been a very positive sign. So one other thing to mention about those two companies that I talked about that spun out of publicly traded company, one of them was called Kyivstar Group, and it's actually the first Ukrainian company to list in the United States. So what they did is they spun out of a publicly traded company, and then they merged with a veteran SPAC sponsor, a woman named Betsy Cohen. They merged with her SPAC vehicle, and that merger is now complete.
Okay. And so could you talk through this trend of companies looking to do dual track processes, considering an IPO or using a SPAC for their listings?
Yeah, exactly. So, traditionally, when we talk about the term dual track process, we're referring to a company that's preparing for an IPO simultaneously with a merger. And typically that merger would be, selling to a larger company or something of that sort. This is different. What we're seeing is a growing number of companies that are looking at going public. They're instead of just preparing for an IPO, the twist is that they have a dual track strategy that prepares for a de-SPAC as well as the IPO. So rather than a traditional merger, they are preparing for a potential de-SPAC.
And what evidence are you seeing of this trend? How many more are taking place this year compared to previous recent years?
Yeah, well, this dual track process trend really just sort of took hold in the first half of this year. So what we have with the data we do have is that there have been more than two dozen de-SPAC mergers this year. And those mergers have a combined deal value of over $15 billion. And that's just in North America. And so that just shows that we are seeing these deals getting done. Now, we don't know exactly whether all of those were dual track processes or, exactly what that looked like. But advisors say that those dual track conversations involving de-SPACs have really increased and they have continued into this third quarter.
And why would this trend be emerging now? Why are companies looking at using this as a listing option versus an IPO?
Yeah, it really reflects both the difficulty of getting listed in this very volatile macroeconomic backdrop that we have, as well as a more disciplined SPAC market that has, sort of made a comeback since the 2020-21 boom. IPO windows are always sort of narrow and unpredictable. So given all the geopolitical tensions in the world, the policy changes that we're seeing, and a lot of uncertainty around interest rates and other, macro drivers, this is a way for companies to chart their own course. They have the SPAC option if they need it.
Okay, and could you briefly talk about some of the sectors that perhaps favor this dual track route?
Yeah, so life sciences really stands out as a sector that views de-SPACs as an attractive path to the public markets. And that's because they traditionally go public earlier than other sectors do. Oftentimes it's a biotech company that needs capital in order to continue the research. So that's been a real hot area. And then the other very hot area is digital assets, which is kind of the more broad term for crypto-related companies. And we've been seeing quite a few of those types of deals.
And so why is that? Is it a way for digital asset companies or cryptocurrency companies, a way of them accessing the public markets?
Yeah, well, there's been a trend of digital asset treasury companies. So what companies are doing is they're putting Bitcoin or Ethereum or some other digital asset on their balance sheet. So what we're seeing in terms of SPACs is they're using the SPAC in order to raise capital to then go out and, potentially buy Bitcoin or some other digital asset, or buy a, merge with a public company a private company that they can then add these digital assets to their balance sheet. So it's sort of a hybrid approach.
And can you talk through, are SPACs having a bit of a rebrand after the boom that happened a few years ago? How have those ones worked out, and how is that affecting the markets in 2025?
Well, yeah, there's definitely been a rebrand. I don't know that it was, really intentional. But the market has just gotten a lot more rational. And I think that's because, in the sort of the wave that we saw during the pandemic boom, there was a lot of celebrities that got into the mix and they had their own sponsors. There was a lot of hype and just excess in that last wave. And that's sort of washed through the system now. It's been, a few years. And, some of those deals did have some success, but, a lot of them actually just had to terminate the deal structure altogether and give investors back their money. And then some of the mergers that did happen, some of them didn't perform very well. So SPACs did have kind of a bad name there for quite a while. And but now what we're seeing is we're seeing more seasoned sponsors, financial firms that have a lot of experience with this asset class. And they're the ones who are now committing capital to this next wave. And it seems to be a much more rational and fundamentally driven merger process.
And so what can we expect to see for the rest of 2025 going into, dare I say it, 2026?
Yeah, well, really across the equity capital markets, things are getting, they're looking pretty positive. We've seen a lot of, really tremendous IPOs, some companies that have just raised a lot of money and then performed very well in the aftermarket. So that is kind of fueling the fire across, deal structures in ECM. So we're seeing IPOs, we are seeing SPACs. And the advisors say that, this dual track process is something that's really starting to increase in this third quarter. And they expect more de-SPACs to occur as the year closes out and as we push into the next year.
Great. Troy, good to talk to you. Thanks very much. That was Troy Hooper, Merger Markets Head of Equity Capital Markets for the Americas. And just to point out, we're recording this on Thursday, the 4th of September. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're on an app that supports it, please give us a rating and review. To find out more about what we've been talking about in this episode, have a look at the show notes. Join us again next week.